1995, standing on the solid rock.
Through my disappointment, strife and discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages safe. From all the storms that rages free, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. Now with his word to guide me, from temptation hide me. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages safe. From all the storms that rages free, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward, east it leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, firm is its foundation. So on this solid rock I'll stay. I'm standing on the rock of ages safe. From all the storms that rages free, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock.
Page 29.
I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to
preacher's book.
All that book.
Well, we could do $5.99, but what if we did Beulah Land instead? Why don't we do Sweet Beulah Land? We might do both of them. I got to think about that while we sing that one. Let's turn to page 57 in this book. What's that? 57.
Back to the first.
It's Mother's Day, JB. Hey.
Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear.
times my past seems drear, without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way.
Fellas did a pretty good job, didn't they? We'd never done that good without that piano player, though.
Amen.
Amen. We want to recognize some mothers here this morning. Thank God for all of you. Thank God for mothers. Thank God for a godly mother. Took me to church. I'd say, tell a lot of times that I had a drug problem when I was young. She drugged me to church every time the door was open. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, song revivals, revivals is everywhere. I was drugged to church every time a phase of service anywhere I was in it. And I heard a preacher preach one time, and he said that he started out going to church because he didn't know any better, because the family just took him every time the doors open. But when he got older, he went because he didn't know any better. It's the best thing. There's nothing like fellowship of believers. And that's a little piece of heaven we get here on earth, or what we're going to get when we get home. Praise the Lord. It's good. We want to recognize our oldest mother tonight, or this morning. And do we have any? How many do we have over 85? Over 85. Got one. I thought that might be the only one. 85, Sister Beulah. You won't get them to them afterwards? We'll get you the flower afterwards. Miss Beulah, raise your hand. If you feel like standing, let everybody see. Raise a little bit. Happy Mother's Day. All right. Now we have one. There'll be a lot of volunteer for this one. The youngest mother. Do we have a mother younger than 30? Okay, we got two younger than 30. What about 25? Younger than 25? Got one younger than 25. So Miss Brooke, stand up. And, amen. mother with the most children present today. Do we have any with five or more today? Five or more. Okay, now I know. What about four? Do we have any children with any mothers with four children here present today? Let's see. All right. We have how many? Three. Huh? Emmy's got three. All right, we have. Raise your hand. I know we got three, I believe. Yes, we got three. So we'll have you. We got a flyer for you, each of you. We got three. Will y'all stand? That's something to be proud of, that you've had three and still alive. Praise the Lord. That's it. They sure not three like me when I was growing up, I guarantee you that. Amen. And we want to take a minute and recognize all of our special mothers. Want to take just a minute before we do this, but I want to recognize all of our mothers that's gone to be with the Lord, that's gone away. And a lot of us, our mothers already gone. And what a blessing it is to have your mother today. Hug your mama, slobber on her, she'll wipe it off, it'll be all right. Let her know how much you love her, how much you appreciate her. This is a time you can thank her for those nights when she got up in the middle of the night and kissed that boo-boo and made the bad things, the hurts go away. My mama used to take, when I was young, my legs cramped. And the doctor told me when I was elementary school, he thought it was arthritis. And she'd get up and take towels and put them in the oven and come in the middle of the night and wrap my legs with those hot towels. I don't know where it was. She knowed the right temperature. That always did the trick, and I went off to sleep. Thank God for mamas. Want to take a minute and just recognize all of our mothers. If you're a mother, would you stand? Amen. Thank you. I'll forget it at the end of the service, but Sister Jackie had asked for a prayer call. Oh, Miss Jackie, I'm out. Oh, Lord. I'll get one. I'll get some tomorrow. I thought I had some. We'll get one tomorrow. Anybody got anything else this morning? Have your Bibles this morning. You want to turn. Turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3. When you read this passage, you're going to say, how in the world did he come up with this? this very unusual passage, probably for Mother's Day, but it's got a great, great message in it. 1 Kings chapter 3, we'll start reading at verse 16. Can you find your place if you would stand with me? Let me give you just a little bit of background before I even read. Most of the time I do it after I read, but Solomon had been anointed king of Israel. And David has passed away, and Solomon is now the king of all of Israel. And God came to him in a dream and said, "What do you want?" Now, buddy, that's an open-ended question, isn't it? Especially a young king. And he said, "Lord, all I ask for is for wisdom to guide your people. I just want to be able. I'm young, I'm a child, I don't know what's going on. All I'm asking you, you give me the wisdom, you'll teach me, you'll show me how to lead these people." God not only granted that wish, he gave him riches and wealth, all the other things that we know of Solomon, but of men that live, probably none no wiser. Of course, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, none no wiser than King Solomon. And that's where we are. He's on the throne. He's asked for wisdom. God's granted. Now God's getting ready to show everybody how wise this man really is. And as we see here in verse 16, "Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And one woman said, 'My lord, I'm and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There were no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it or laid on him. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. When I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered, or I looked at it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman say, 'Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son.' And this said, 'No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son.' Thus they spoke before the king. Then said the king, 'The one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other say, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living.' And the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other.' Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, 'O Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it.' But the other said, 'Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it.' Then the king answered and said, 'Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof.' And all Israel heard the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment." Let's pray. Father, we come to you again and thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for all the events of the day. Lord, we want to thank you for every hamburger that'll be eat in honor of a mother today, and every meal, everything that'll be done. Lord, I just pray that the honor will be bestowed upon our mothers today. You would bless and guide and touch. Father, thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for the songs we sung. Thank you for the taught word in Sunday school. Thank you for every hand's been shook, every neck that's been hugged, everything put in the offering plate. Everything, God, that we do, we say, we thank. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Without you, we could do nothing. Lord, we just ask you now that you touch your old preacher boy again. Anoint him from up on high. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A group of people was having a bazaar, and one woman had brought a big plate of apples, and she had put the apples out there, and she put in a note in front of the apples, and it said that the apples are free for everyone to take, but just take one because God was watching. And the little boy was in there and seen it, and when he understood and really was checking out what was going on, so then he made his way over and found a big plate of cookies. And he thought about it and made him a sign. He put them up at the cookies, and it said, "These are cookies. Take all you want. God's watching the apples." That might have been me. But thinking this morning and on this, see, God knows everything. God sees every heart. He's in control. In the Bible, even said He knows the hair on our heads, the number of them. He knows our thoughts, the intents of our thought, our hearts, our thoughts, every part about us. See, He knows it all. And all wisdom belongs to Him. And He had bestowed some of that wisdom upon Solomon. And in the judgment that He was making here, see, usually when we read this passage that we really think about the wisdom of Solomon. We think about what God had granted him. And the first time I ever read this, it just blew my mind that the wisdom that it was in this decision making, how that he came about and how God had blessed him. And we usually think about those things, but I want us to look this morning and concentrate on the mothers a little bit, especially the one mother, but the women in this story. And the relationship, really, I want us to look at between the women here and the king. This relationship. First of all, I want to look in verse 16. It says, "There came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him." I want to look at the first thing is the mother's access to the king. I want to look at the Bible said here, they stood before the king. They was able. They had access to go right in to the king of Israel. The one that had all authority. The one that made the rules. The one that was in charge. That is that they had access to come in. Both of them had access to come to the king. I was thankful and looked at this passage and it intrigued me. Thinking that he was open that as anybody could come in. You know, lots of times kings, you couldn't come in. If you wasn't summoned, then you come before him. Unless he stretched the scepter out, you'd be done away with. But King Solomon had his kingdom open. These ladies came, these women came before him. Both had access. And as we look, and it's a lot, and I've done quite a bit of studying about, they probably wasn't the most upstanding women in the community. Bible calls them harlots. Some believe that they maybe run a boarding house, but most tend to believe they were prostitutes. The babies were probably born conceived ungodly. And we look and we think, and when they stood before the king, he judged them fairly. Amen. Aren't you glad of that today? When they were judged fair when they stood before the king. I got to thinking about this yesterday. And I got thinking, how nervous do you think these women was when they stood before the king? I mean, what was the outcome, especially the one where she knew this was her son, and she didn't know the outcome. She'd heard of how wise Solomon was, and she'd heard a lot of things of him, but she didn't know what was going to come about. She was standing before the total one in complete control and in charge. Boy, I tell you what, when you get in front of someone like that, you kind of stand up a little bit. You kind of put your best clothes on. You kind of put your best foot forward. And when you stand, because whatever he says goes. I thought about the nervousness of these women as they stood. Then I thought about Hebrews 4:16. I know I quoted a lot. I love this verse. The Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Praise the Lord. These women come up into the throne of grace. Is it with Solomon that day? He was a righteous judge. He judged correctly. We can come before the God of the universe this morning and come to Him and stand and not have to be nervous, not have to be scared to death, not have to tremble in our steps when we come to Him in the name of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad of that today? I thought about this and these women standing, that we can stand before God. I tell you, I thank God for the throne of grace. I thank God for grace this morning that we have, that we can come before God and we don't have to worry that we're going to get cast out. We don't have to worry that we're going to get struck down. And I know we talked about it in Sunday school a little bit, and I grew up in a strict church, and buddy, one little thing and you was condemned, and that was, God was ready to strike you down and go away with. Well, that ain't the same God I know. I know a God of grace. I know a God that loves people and has sent His only Son to die on a cross so that we could be saved. I thank God for the throne of grace this morning. I'm here to tell you, if it wasn't for that throne of grace, this old preacher boy would have been gone a long time ago. See, and we can access this throne. Bible said it's by grace through faith. We come in faith, but we can access this throne through a sinner's prayer. That gives us access. We say, "Lord, I know I'm unworthy. I know I'm a sinner. And I know, Jesus, that You died on the cross and that You're the Son of God and You rose again to take the punishment of my sins, and I accept the forgiveness that You give. I accept that You are the only means, the only way that I can make it to heaven, and I trust You to get me there." Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for that? Believing. The Bible says that if we believe, Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." I'm going to give you, Preacher Cutshaw, just an old country boy. I think he went 6th, 7th grade, maybe 8th grade in education. He always said the word believe is to cling to, trust in, and rely on. Are we believing Jesus today for salvation? Are we believing and trusting that when He comes back, or if we go by the way of death, that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything's taken care of? I can tell you today, and I believe this as much as I believe that I'm standing here before you, that if I go by the way of death, or if He come, and He could come any minute, that He come and call me out, that I believe and I'm convinced that I have put all my trust in Him, not in my goodness, not in money, not in the law, not in anything. Only trust that I have is that Jesus Christ said that He come and to give His life on the cross for me. And I believe it, I've trusted that, I've accepted that, and now I'm expecting to go to heaven. Amen. And if I die and I don't go to heaven, I'm going to be a very disappointed person. But I'm going. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad of that hope? See, the Bible says in Hebrews 1:8, But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. The scepter was the emblem of power. The emblem of being in charge. And they'd have jewels and gold. And the king would come in with this scepter. And it's a rod-like and not as real big. And man, it'd be all polished up and look so pretty. But when you seen the dude carrying that around, you said, that's the guy in charge right there. That's the head dude. That was his emblem. The Bible here said that Jesus Christ's emblem and his power and everything we see is his righteousness. Ooh, glory. When you see him, you're seeing the righteous Son of God that never sinned, never done anything wrong, and always was perfect, and he who knew no sin became sin that I might know the righteousness of God. His emblem is righteousness. His symbol for his kingdom is that he's just and fair. Just as Solomon sat on that throne, he was just and fair to these two ladies. Why was Solomon even concerned about these two prostitutes? Why did he give them a time of day? Why did he allow them even in his kingdom? Nobody said nothing. I mean, and today, if we're not careful, we'll put up a sign, just certain ones are welcome in the church. And they were sure wasn't your role model citizens. I believe that he was concerned about them and cared about them because God did. Why should we love everybody today? Because God does. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Boy, I'm thankful for that verse this morning. I'm thankful that he sent his only Son to die on the cross and that he loved me. See, the Bible said, Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, I come to call the sinners. The ones that's whole don't need a physician. It's the ones that's sick that goes to the doctor. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm glad he didn't run them out of that kingdom that day. I'm glad he didn't just do away with them. I'm glad that what a sign, and it shows of the mercy and the grace that God has upon us. And if I want, and I won't say something, and I don't want to get in trouble. I'm glad mothers don't have to be perfect. Aren't you? Now, there's a lot of great women here, but there's none of us perfect, are you? We've all come short of the glory of God. And it's not just mothers, it's sons. It's daddies. We're all in the same boat. There's two types of sinners. There's forgiven and unforgiven. We're all sinners. Paul said, I'm the chief of them. I'm the worst of them. And that's kind of the way I feel. Boy, but I thank God for forgiveness. I thank God for grace. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his love. I thank God for just reaching out and what he had done and the way he took care of me when I was out in the world and the things I'd done. And he'd bring me home at night and kept his hand upon me and kept me safe. And he said, I'm going to make a preacher out of him, and I better bring him home tonight. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that just stirs up my soul. Thank God cared enough about me. These situations in, I shouldn't have lived through it. I shouldn't have been here, but his mercy, he's rich in mercy. Glory, hallelujah. I won't only see the mother's access, I want to look at the mother's answer from the king. And I looked at this last night, and I was thinking about it, and
I thought of something funny, but I thought we might see this on Dr. Phil. Or some of the guys used to work with talk about watching Jerry Springer. It's something like you'd see on Jerry Springer or something. A few months ago, I was going to counsel some folks, a couple. And Becca, I told them she was wanting me to do something. I said, I've got to go. And she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm counseling some folks. And she said, what does that mean? And so I explained to her, and she said, are you like Dr. Phil? I said, oh, no. No, I'm nothing like Dr. Phil. But this was a mess. I mean, this here was a mess in front of the king. And then it gets to the point where he even says, so you say it's yours, she says it's hers, you say, I mean, you're talking about a fiasco right here in the kingdom. This was a mess. I'll bet you the folks sitting around said, King better be wise. What's he going to do with this mess? Praise the Lord. How many lives gets like that? How many times we get in a mess? How many times it's all messed up? It's all buckled up and there's no answer. There's no way out. We've been in situations just recently and there's been no answer. There's no way. I don't even know what to pray. Boy, but God's got the wisdom to handle it. Woo! He's got the grace and the mercy and the sweet spirit that comes when I know that it's going to be okay. I don't know how. I can't explain it, but I'm just going to trust Him with it. There's some days I don't feel like, but I still get up and put my shoes on. Amen? This was a mess. And I'm going to share something with you mothers. Most of you already know it. There is not such a thing as a stress-free motherhood. Boy, I see these are shaking their head. It's going to stress in it, aren't they? There's tough times in it. It gets so difficult and complicated. And it starts out from maybe being all night in birthing pains. Boy, he better be handsome after this night. My mama said, I was born about 8 o'clock in the morning, I think she said. And she said, I was in pain all night long with you. Well, boy, you know the Bible talks about whence that baby's born, when that man child's born. You forget all about those birthing pains, don't you? Praise the Lord. It starts out with the birthing pains and goes all the way through to the empty nest. I know some of y'all has dealt with that. And even on to the grandchildren. Beyond that, it's always stressful, isn't it? Life is stressful. But God has the wisdom to help us and spare us from a lot of stuff. See, in this stressful situation, God would give the king wisdom how to handle it. Aren't you glad He gives us wisdom how to handle situations? I thank God for wisdom. Sometimes it's enough, and I'm learning, and the older I get, this sometimes just keep your mouth shut. That takes a lot of wisdom sometimes. Boy, I want to say something. I know most of y'all ain't like me, but I just want to set them straight. I'll tell you what, buddy. And some of the best that God's given me is wisdom. Just button it up, Tim, and it'll be all right. See, the Bible says in the book of James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. See, the situations in life that say, don't care how messed up, how complex, how bad, how ugly, how there's no end in sight, that if we'll ask God for the wisdom, the Bible here says He'll give us the wisdom that we need. Wow. I wish I'd asked this earlier in life for some of that wisdom. See, it don't matter the situation. It don't matter if we're single moms, adoptive moms, stepmoms, or moms in special situations, or whatever it is, mother-in-laws. Whatever the situation is, God can give the wisdom to get through. I am so thankful for that. See, he has all the answers. The teachers in school, their books got the answers. They still have many, Tim. You don't use books. All right. That's a thing of the past, isn't it? All right. And then the last point. I want to look at a mother's sacrificial love acknowledged by the king. In verse 24 through 26. Bible said, and the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword to the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. You know, the other woman had the attitude of the world. If I can't have it, nobody have it. If it's me, I want it. And if I can't have it, then just do away with it. Boy, I thought about that, and I thought about that attitude. I'm afraid that there's so many that has that attitude. And if somebody does good, somebody's going to be jealous over it. Oh, wow. It tickles me to death to see somebody do good. I always have. I love to see people do good. But you won't think here now, and we're thinking of the women, the situation that the king was in. And now I'm getting ready to really age, put on, show our age. How many remembers the old show, To Tell the Truth? There's a few hands. They're not a whole lot, are they? To Tell the Truth. This was a panel that was set up, and that they would be three contestants, I believe it was, and the panel, and them three was, and they was trying to pick out the one who was telling the truth. They had to decide who was lying and who was telling the truth. And at the end of the story, at the end of the program, they would say, will the real such and such please stand up? And a lot of times it would be the ones could really lie, couldn't they? And they'd be the ones that would think. But anyway, this is kind of what I seen here in this passage. That he said, will the real mother really stand up? When it come down to where the rubber meet the road, the mother said, I'd rather see somebody else raise my boy than see him cut in two. The mother's love showed this through, just right out. And she said, I can sacrifice for him. Oh, Lord. Man, we can get down to where the nitty-gritty is now, isn't it? How many nights did mother sacrifice her sleep for the little babies? How many times did they sacrifice their careers? How many times they sacrifice their goals for the goals of the children? Amen. A lot of things have been sacrificed, and the mother sacrificed over and over and over. They sacrificed their bodies for 9 months. So many things. How many times have we had a new outfit for Easter and mom couldn't afford one? We had a new outfit for something and mom didn't get to get one, but we did. How many times was they one helping left in the plate and all of a sudden mom wasn't hungry anymore? I got the last biscuit. I got the last piece of meatloaf. Boy, aren't you glad for sacrificial love of mothers? Praise the Lord. See, we honor our mothers for all they're given, all the sacrifice, everything they do for us. Because one thing that I want us to do, and I hope this message does today, remind us how great our mothers are, but also remind us how much they remind us of God. You want to talk about a sacrifice? You talk about a sacrifice that he has gave for us. He had one son, only begotten. And he said, I'll give him for the world. I love those folks so much that I'll give my son so they can spend eternity with me. Wow. Wow. That's it. I can't comprehend that. I know him. I want to end with, close with the story. Story, then a question. And this was a true story chronicled out of concentration camps. Solomon Rosenberg, his wife and their two sons and his mother and father were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp and the rules were simple. As long as you could do the work, you are permitted to live. When you become too weak to do your work, you are exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and father marched off to their deaths. And he knew that next would be his youngest son, David, because David had always been a frail child. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together and embrace one another and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back and didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled up, weeping and praying. He said, Joshua, tell me it's not true. Joshua turned and said, it's true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work. So they came for him. But where is your mother? Asked Mr. Rosenberg. Oh, Papa, he said, when they came for David, he was afraid and cried. Mama said, there's nothing to be afraid of, David. We will be brave. And she took his hand and went with him. There's the sacrifice of a mother. That's the sacrifice God gave for us. He said, son, it'll be bad. But it's short-lived. Jesus came and died for us. I want to go to verse 5 in chapter 3. In Gibeon, the day the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Boy, this just rung out at me as I studied this. And what if God would ask us what we wanted? I mean, a blank check. He just said, what do you want? Wow. I mean, we're talking about God. We're not talking about somebody that's rich. We're talking about God that spoke the worlds into existence. If God asks you and me this morning, what do you want? What would it be? What would we say? Well, I could use $1 million, Lord. I could use a nice vacation home. I could use a better vehicle. I could use... See, Solomon could ask for all these things. He said, Lord, just give me wisdom to rule your people. I want to ask you this morning, in closing... And I think God is sitting and listening this morning. What would be your prayer this morning? What is one thing in your life that you're in need of? Is it peace? Is it joy? Is it a financial need? Is it a family matter? Is it salvation? Lord, I need you to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. Lord, I've been saved, but I need to come back and I need you to forgive me. The Bible said if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm sure the congregation of this size this morning that there's a lot of needs. We've got a lot of needs in here this morning, a lot of prayer requests. We have a lot of unspoken requests time after time we meet. And I'm going to invite you this morning as we come and as we close and have a song that you come and call upon the Lord with that petition. God is saying, what shall I give you today? What is it? I hope I'm not painting him just to be a Santa Claus. That's not what I don't mean to do at all. But he is concerned about our needs. He's concerned about our eternity. He's concerned about us today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God, I'm so thankful that we have a day set aside to celebrate mothers. I'm so thankful, Lord, that we can celebrate and talk of their sacrificial love and the things that they have done in our lives. But Lord, and I'm so thankful today that we can talk about your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your sacrifice. And Father, what you have done, and your word tells us over and over, but the chastisement